WFSU Public Media was awarded a grant from PBS this year for an initiative known as Retro Report. The grant was for coverage of historical roots surrounding local stories and how those stories fit into the national narrative of our country. WFSU News produced two stories in conjunction with WFSU-TV related to housing, public health, and civil rights. Today, we explore Florida A&M University. We examine its role in the civil rights movement and the school's 50-year fight for survival. I'm Lynn Hatter. Historically Black colleges and universities are vibrant centers of education, celebration, and pride in Black communities.
And strike again.
That was evident at this year's homecoming football game at Florida A&M University. The crowd and vendors snaked around the school's Bragg Stadium. But in the years since integration, HBCUs like FAMU, they've been disappearing. At their peak in the 1930s, there were 121 HBCUs. Today, there are 101, and they face increasing scrutiny. FAMU has been in a fight for survival for decades, and it knows all too well what happens when its centers disappear.
I did not know that FAMU had a hospital.
No, I did not know that FAMU had a hospital.
I actually did. My advisor, Mr. McCaskill, shared in class that he was born there.
Among the many buildings on the campus of FAMU is one that looks slightly different from the others. It houses the school's admissions office, financial aid, and student account centers. In the 1950s, FAMU's Fidelier Building was a hospital. But ask around, and it's something known only by a few.
You've talked to FAMU students, and they don't have a clue as to the role that this hospital played. And as far as I'm concerned, that's totally unacceptable. That's administrative malpractice.
Dr. Ed Hollifield is a longtime medical doctor and local healthcare advocate. His mother, Millicent Hollifield, was a nurse at the FAMU hospital. She successfully petitioned the Leon County School District to establish a nursing program for high schoolers. The Hollifields were part of a broader activism anchored by HBCUs. Those like FAMU were instrumental in the civil rights movement. FAMU students led the Tallahassee bus boycott of 1956 and the Woolworths sit-ins. The roots of this activism go back to the end of the Civil War, when a new group of American citizens began to emerge. Schools like FAMU were established to educate them. These schools would become known as HBCUs. FAMU's hospital would rise in the middle of a debate between two powerful Black educators.
The arguments between W.B. Du Bois and Booker T. Washington about what takes your path to independence, is it higher education or vocational skills?
Dr. Nasheed Madhuwan is the director of the Southeastern Meek Eaton Archive on the campus of Florida A&M. FAMU's hospital started in 1911 to treat tuberculosis patients. It combined the vocation of nursing into higher education. And by 1951, it had grown to more than 100 beds and served African Americans. It was also ahead of its time.
The primary physicians were all Black physicians, as I say, and there were just a few of us. And the subspecialists were the white physicians who, on call from us, would come over to work that we didn't feel comfortable in taking care of.
Dr. A.D. Brickler has delivered more than 30,000 babies in his 60-year career. He began working in medicine during the Korean War and came to Tallahassee after his father-in-law invited him to work at the FAMU hospital. FAMU would eventually become the first school, Black or white, to have an accredited Bachelor's of Nursing program in Florida. FAMU teachers, lawyers, and business owners would go on to form the foundation of the city's emerging Black middle class.
The five-year-old and the six-year-old boy or little girl that wake up, they probably woke up in the 1880s, 1890s, and did not see a positive, identifiable character to model after. But in the 1950s and 60s, you start to see more of that.
We as children thought we would be like them, because I thought surely I'd be a nurse. There was no way I wouldn't be a nurse, because they were just simply beautiful to me in the white uniforms, you know, the white stockings and the white shoes and the caps. And I thought they were just gorgeous. My name is Rhonda Little Ransom, and I'm from and born in Pensacola, but Tallahassee is my home site. That's what I always say. This hospital for us, particularly the ones that lived in this neighborhood, was a social center.
But things began to change in 1964 with the passage of the Civil Rights Act. It paved the way for widespread integration, but there was also a cost, one borne by Black institutions like FAMU. Tomorrow, we delve into the consequences of the Civil Rights Act and how it set the stage for FAMU's 50-plus year fight for survival. For WFSU News, I'm Lynn Hatter. FAMU would first lose its law school when the state defunded it in 1965. It closed in 1968. Its assets went to Florida State University, the predominantly white school. Nasheed Madiun is head of the Southeastern Black Archives at FAMU. He says the Civil Rights Act was turned against the people it was meant to help.
The Civil Rights Act was supposed to be, of course, to help uplift and provide more strength and a balance, equilibrium to African Americans, opportunity.
Yet, there was an unforeseen cost, and that cost was paid by Black institutions. Now, FAMU programs that were once seen as progressive to the point of subverting the stereotypes of Jim Crow became victims of their successes.
If I'm a legislator that believes in oppressing African Americans. And so we have an opportunity here to use this Civil Rights Act to say, you know, we want to take away funding if you're not serving a white population. We want to take away funding if you don't have a staff that reflects America.
3 years later, the FAMU hospital began to face threats of closure. It lost its federal health care funding to Tallahassee Memorial Hospital, which was now integrated. And facing financial hardship it couldn't overcome, the University Hospital officially shuttered on December 24, 1971, Christmas Eve. Doctors Brickler, Ed Hollifield, and Rhonda Ransom recall what happened next.
The old hospital was taking care of all of the Black indigent patients and subsequently more of the white indigent patients in the community before it closed. And if you take care of a lot of sick people who don't have any money, you're going to run out of funds. And that's exactly what happened to A&M Hospital.
Everybody was heartbroken. There was so much about it we didn't understand. Some we did understand. Most of the staff, somebody in the community knew somebody who worked here. We all knew somebody who was going through something as a result of the closure.
And how evil and vindictive that was. When the people at FAMU had to wake up and say, and the white folks told them, y'all ain't had no hospital no more, it's gone.
Newspaper accounts say the closing was timed for Christmas break, when officials knew FAMU students would be away from campus and therefore less able to organize and protest. FAMU is now plunged into a five-decade fight for survival. The first talk of closing and merging the school with Florida State University began in the late 1960s.
There's a law school at FAMU, you have a hospital, this flagship nursing program, researchers, and you have FSU that had none of those programs.
There would be no end in sight. Over the years, different programs have been targeted for removal: nursing, agricultural sciences, even football. In 2014, the flames of racial resentment were fanned again when an effort to split the joint FAMU-FSU College of Engineering was unveiled in the legislature.
This is different for me than anybody else here because it takes me back to a time when I sat in the stack studying and the books were removed and taken to Florida State University. I sat there as the lights were dimmed and the door closed, knowing that no other Black student would have the opportunity to come to Florida A&M University because Someone envisioned that it would be best at Florida State.
Former State Senator Arthenia Joyner was among the last class of students to graduate from the law school before it closed. It was reestablished in Orlando in 2002. In that same debate, former Senator Dwight Bullard noted FAMU's racial history is etched in stone, a reminder of decades of losses and struggles.
As a student at Florida A&M University, you don't know how bitter it feels for a student to pass by their library door, turn the corner, and see carved into the marble, College of Law, and know that that building does not exist. You don't know how disheartening it is to go to the law library at Florida State University to study statute and see Florida A&M University stamped in the books at Florida State.
Even now, those divisions are still apparent, just as railroad tracks, long symbols of segregation, continue to separate two sides of the city. These are wounds that never healed, and injuries no hospital can treat. FAMU has weathered financial and administrative instability. Other HBCUs have faced similar problems. These institutions were at one time the only higher education option for Black people. Today, they're serving about 9% of Black students. And one question dominates: have they outlived their usefulness? FAMU President Larry Robinson has an answer for that.
I think the day that we eliminate social injustice, economic disparities, health and medical disparities, the day that we cure all of those things, HBCUs are no longer relevant, okay? It looks like we're going to be in the business for a very long time.
And though the battle to split the College of Engineering died on that Senate floor, FAMU stakeholders say there are lessons to be learned in the school's long fight for survival. For WFSU News, I'm Len Hatter.